1 Peter 2:21, 22, 23, 24. 1 Peter 2:21 through 24. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And his steps were, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So, do we have a new goal to shoot for? Amen. Verse 23 and 24. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now think about that. Just think about that. That last little verse. Who his own self, we're talking about Jesus here, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree or the cross, that we, being dead to sins. Now then, if you are dead to sin, how can you sin any longer? Romans is very clear about that in Romans 5, 6, and 7. If we really do stay dead to sin, then that's where you can get God to do something. If you stay dead to sin, I mean, dead to sin. You know how hard it is to stay dead to sin when something happens to you? When somebody does something that hurts you? But just think about what he said. If we stay dead to our sins, we should live unto righteousness. Now, if we do stay dead to sin and live unto righteousness, what's the next line say? By whose stripes you are what? You're healed. So isn't that something? So if you and me walk in faith, walk in love, walk in righteousness, and do what God says, and stay dead to sins, do not resurrect this beast. I mean, when somebody says something to us, just don't go there. Just say, I ain't going there. I'm just going to stay dead. Jesus killed this thing. I'm just going to let it stay dead. Now, obviously, we can do that, right?
Amen.
Amen. But it's kind of hard, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's kind of hard. But if we stay dead to sin, then what does that next line say? By whose stripes you are? You're healed. Let's go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Let's go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17. I want you to see this. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils or demons. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. If Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, should we be sick?
No,
we should not. But are we to sin? No. What if we do? Oh, my Lord. If we sin, we get whacked, don't we? The little devil. In fact, let's go to 1 John. Let's go back over to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John 5:18. In fact, I was listening to TBN the other night, and there was a guy that was doing the emceeing on the show. And he told the guy that was on there, he had seen a few miracles. And he told him, the guy that was doing the MC, he said, I have never seen a miracle. I thought, wow. You know, a few years ago, that could have been me. Could it be you?
Yeah.
A few years ago, hadn't been many years ago. You didn't see no miracles, no healing. You didn't even know the healing power of Jesus was there, did you, Jack? No. He went to a good church. Big church. In fact, I got so tickled at Jack after he got healed. His senior pastor over at that church was sick. And he tried everything to get him to come over here. And he even guaranteed him. He said, if you'll come over there and repent of your sins and let that man pray for you, I guarantee Jesus will heal you. And he would not come. He doesn't believe. He doesn't believe. Boy, there ain't nothing like physical healing, Jack. When your back's been hurting you for all them years and you get rid of that pain, hey... And then when you've had that big old lump on your hand for 40 years and we curse it and kick it out and go, it's wonderful not to have it, right? You always give Jesus all the glory and praise. Praise the King. All we get to do is pray the prayer of faith, and Jesus does the rest, right? Wow, is He an awesome God? I mean, He's an awesome God. There's just nothing hard for God. I just stand in awe. Look at this, 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. You know, the first time I read that, the first 10 or 20 times I read that, I thought, God, I can't be your son. I know I'm a sinner. I mean, they tell me in the Baptist church all the time, I'm a sinner, an unworthy sinner. I was saved by grace. I sin all day, every day. So, Lord, I can't be your child if I sin all day, every day. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now then, when I done a little research on that, I found out that really means that we do not practice sinning. That's what it means. In other words, I don't practice sinning. I don't practice, you know, sin. I just don't do that, you know. Does that mean that I'm never going to sin? No, I may fall short somewhere, but I am not going to go out and practice sinning. You know, I mean, y'all know what I mean, right? You're not going to go out and practice telling lies and, you know, and practice being mean to people and all. You're not going to practice going out on Friday night with the guys and getting drunk and come in wiped out. And all. You don't do that as a Christian. You just don't do that. We know that whosoever is born of God does not practice sinning. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself from what? Evil. You keep yourself from evil. And if you keep yourself from evil, the wicked one cannot touch you.
Amen.
Is that good news?
Amen.
Hey, do we have to be concerned about the devil? No, huh? All we got to do is be concerned about walking in holiness, right?
Amen.
We walk in obedience to God's word. If we don't sin, if you do keep yourself clean and pure, do you have to sweat the devil? No. That puts a little bit more in there to make you want to walk holy, right? I just see people all the time that's in church, that come to church and got saved, and then they left. And they're living with some girl or guy out of wedlock. In fact, that little girl, I was amazed that that couple brought their little girl out here one night. She had diarrhea and upset stomach and I don't know what all. She had all kinds of problems, cramps in her stomach, and she had migraine headaches and everything. The first time she came, she didn't even come up for prayer because she heard me preaching about what sin does to us, and she did not believe that. So she told her mom and dad when she left, she said, "Don't ever ask me to go back out there. I hate that guy. I'm not going to go back to his church ever again." Well, two or three weeks later, they finally enticed her to come one more time. Well, that Sunday when she came up here and said, "Pastor, I have a question. I am living with a boy out of wedlock. I'm not married to him. Are you telling me that my sin is what's bringing all this sickness upon me?" I said, "Guarantee it, woman. Guarantee it. That's what's bringing it upon you." I said, "The Word of God says that every sexual sin, God, Jesus Christ Himself, will judge every sexual sin." Now, how would you like for Jesus to judge you? I believe I'll pass on that. You know, I'd hate for the King to judge me, wouldn't you? Wow, but that's what the Scripture says. Jesus judges every sexual sin. So now we understand why so many people are so sick and afflicted. And so anyway, what do we got to do to get rid of that? Repent. Repent, right? You repent, will God forgive you? Yes, He will. Praise God. He will. And then don't go do it again, right? Anyway, the little girl, she came up here and said, "Are you telling me that all of these problems are because of my sin?" I said, "Yes." She said, "You mean if I repent and make God a promise standing right here that you'll pray for me and He'll heal me?" I said, "I guarantee it. Guarantee it." See, a lot of people never get this principle down, do they, Jack? They don't ever get it. So if somebody does come up to be prayed for, you pray for the little girl and she's still sick next week and next week and next week, and she's worse because she did not get her sin taken care of. But I've learned that principle. The little girl come up and she said, "Okay, Lord, I repent. I will not go back to bed with that boy unless he puts a ring on my finger first. I will not sleep with him one more time unless I'm married to him. And she said, Lord, I repent for all of my sins. I prayed for her. The little girl was instantly healed of everything. When she came back 2 weeks later, she came up here with, you was here, wasn't you, Kim? Tears in her eyes, saying, oh, I want to tell you folks that 3-4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, when I come here the first time, I hated Pastor Thurman. Now I love him, she said. It got her healed. She said, I repented of all my sins and did what God told me to do. She said, I had no idea that it would bring all this sickness upon me. But most people don't know that, do they, Jack? Why do they not know it? I was telling this young lady back here, I said, you know, she was talking about how wonderful that CD was about God's power. If you've not listened to God's power, make sure you get a copy of it. It's right over here. And make sure you listen to it. It's an hour and a half CD. It's a great teaching on some of the miracles I've seen God do in my life. I've done it at Bill Gothard's conference before 3,000 people a few years ago. And I told her, I said, you know, after I'd done that, the next morning, the pastors of those big churches and the PhDs from the seminary, they met the next morning and they threw me out of the Bill Gothard conference because I made that teaching, God's power. Bill had me signed up to speak at 4 or 5 conferences all over the country. San Diego, San Francisco, you name it. I was going to speak. I think the one in San Francisco was going to be 10,000 people. And boy, the people that heard the teachings down at Big Sandy, there's 3,000 there. They knew a lot of these people. And man, they called them and told them, you got to be there when this guy talks. And they came, and then I wasn't there. They said, where did he go? And they contacted me and said, what happened? And I said, well, they threw me out. In fact, Ty, he was my associate pastor at the time. And I said, Ty, I got thrown out of the Bill Gothard conference. He said, what did you teach? I said, well, you know, I said, God's power was what I did. And I said, and the other one there, I did it the next morning in 1 hour and 5 minutes, how to get a lost person saved.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Your Test of Faith, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.